Baruch Hashem, we dedicate our shiur. We have this chus of giving one more shiur, even though I lied last year. I said it was last year because I was convinced to give the shiur. Zecher Nishmas Kedoshim, Shanaf Lo Kedus Hashem, and unfortunately, those that continue to die and those that are in threat. However, we do give hodah to the Ribono Shalom that we saw Nisim and Nafloyes not that many days ago, and everybody should give hodah. And when you're at your Seder, you should remind everyone that Nisan is a month of miracles, and we saw a tremendous miracle. And yeah, there's a tefillah, but specific in what happened on Moshe Shabbos, we should really think about this. It really bothers me that not more was done in this tefillah, that people didn't think more about the great Hodah. Somebody just said, Rabbi Amar said, that military experts said, I mean, they're not going to tell anybody this, but I guess they did now because Israelis can't keep their mouth shut, that their best case scenario was that they would be able to shoot down 60%. And they shot down 99.9%. So we should give Shavuot Vodah. And when we go to the Seder, we should realize that the Seder has nothing to do, listen to me carefully, the Seder has nothing to do with telling over the historic events that happen. It's all about the present. It's all about recognizing that we live in a time of Nisan v'Naflos. And sometimes we don't see those Nisan v'Naflos. We didn't see Kriyas Yamsuf, and we certainly didn't see the Esr Makos. But we have to give Hodah to the Ribono Shalom. And certainly we continue to daven for all the Cholim of Klal Yisrael, specifically our dear soldiers, and then the ones that were injured on October 7th, and of course the Chatufim, we hope for only Besaris Tovus Yeshuas Venechamas. So I want to do a little halacha, a little bit of the Seder. Obviously won't be able to touch upon most of the things, and I don't want to make this, normally we're at 9 o'clock, it's now 10:20, so we'll calm down. But a lot of people like to discuss the end of the Seder. Everybody wants to talk about the matzah and the chiyuv and the afikomen. Is it a chiyuv or not? Ala soiva or not? What do we do? Okay, so I'm gonna start from the beginning because I think maybe many people forget that the first kos is probably the most unique kos. We said last week that the Sfardim, even though the Sfardim here don't know what I'm talking about, they, it's potato kugel, it's Ashkenaz. We should have Yerushalmi kugel for you. So that we have the minhag to make the bracha on all four cups, right? And it's interesting that we have this minhag on all four cups because of the fact that one would argue that maybe the chiyuv is only on the first cup and the last cup, the last kos of the arba kosos. It's interesting nonetheless. What we do know is that we have something unique, as we spoke about last week, I'll just go through it very quickly, that when it comes to the first cup, when it comes to the first kos, so it's also Kedusha Shabbos, Kedusha Siyantif. We make a hekesh that may be correct or not, the Rambam writes this, not at all agree with the Rambam, that just like you have a Chiyuv Midaraisa, tomorrow night, Friday night, we make Kiddush, and that Chiyuv is Midaraisa. There's a very unique, interesting idea. What is that unique obligation on a Friday night? So this is very interesting, actually, because what happened, I just want to tell it over very quickly, but there's a cute little piece of Torah that I love to tell over, and that's the following. Let's take the following scenario. So this is not so kashur. In America, this is a lot more kashur. But here in Mishkan Shiloh, we have probably the equal number of men that we have women on Friday night. I don't think Friday night davening that women come to is a very unique Israeli thing, maybe even a unique Tzioni thing. Haredi women probably don't come to shul. And usually, here's what happens. You came, let's say I'm a father, let's say. And what happened? So I come to shul, and what do? I say vayichulu. How many times do I say vayichulu on Friday night? Three times, right. Very good. No, in shul, twice, right? Right. Oh, no, the Ashkenazim, we said, no, right. So I'm going to say it three times. So now I've said vayichulu in my own davening, and then when I finish Manasrei, I say Vayichulu again, Piedos, whatever it might be, Chassam Sofer doesn't like that, but okay, whatever. And then I come home, and now we have something very interesting that just happened. We just said that the obligation is Midoraisa, which is very interesting in the Rambam, that it's going to be Yontif as well, and that our first cup is going to be Midoraisa, and if that's true, we'll have to discuss for a moment, can we do early Shabbos? Yes, a lot of people hear Nebuch. Not Nebuch. I discovered, thank God, when my kids got older, I discovered how wonderful it is to make Shabbos at the regular time and not at like 5 o'clock or whatever, 5:45. What? Yeah. So now it's fine. But I understand why we do it. Rav Tzoli b'Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. The Gemara clearly says that you're allowed to make early Shabbos. A lot of people actually do it for good reason, because they want to be Mekadosh Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein is a tshuva. Rav Moshe Feinstein wonders, what happened all of a sudden in the summer? We're now going to add to Tosefta Shabbos. Why are we doing it? But okay, not for now. So now what happens So this is very interesting what happens. I now come home, and now my wife, the husband and the wife have equal obligations. This is actually a shaila when it comes to regular yontif, if a woman has the same obligation as the man. But okay, let's say not. So now what happens? Comes along the husband, he comes home, and now he said vayichulu, we said twice already. So he's already fulfilled his obligation, midoraisa. No? He fulfilled his obligation, midoraisa. So now what happens? He comes home, mommy, she didn't do anything. What's going to happen now? Mommy's obligation is what? Actually on a higher level, for the first time, a higher level than mine. So who should make Kiddush on Friday night? You can't say, you can't even, the Haredi kid can't even say mommy should make it. But really, mommy should make it. No, you understand what I'm saying? You already said Vayichulu twice. You only have to say Vayichulu one. What happened? You're Yoytzi Midaraisa. Yeah, it's better to do it at Kiddush Al HaKos. You can't tell me that's Midaraisa to do at Kiddush Al HaKos. So now we have a unique problem here. I didn't make up this problem. Rabbi Kiv Eger has this, discusses Dagla Merova, has this Kasha B'nechas Chinuch. What do we do?
Yeah.
So there's a strange minhag. We're going to get to Pesach night. You got to give me a little time. We have until Chatzos. So no. So here's the unique thing. So unique thing is that it used to be in American Chutzlaritz. I don't know where everybody's originally from, but many shuls in Chutzlaritz have a minhag to make Kiddush on Friday night in shul. This is strange. The Gemara, it's not so strange. The Gemara says that there used to be Orchim that would come to the Beit Knishta, they would come to Shul, and Nebuch, they made Kiddush, that was it. That was their Kiddush. So when I grew up as a kid, the Chazan would make Kiddush, and little kids would wait online to take a little bit. This is a very strange minhag. Why it's not a Bracha Levatala is a little bit strange. Mistamit should be a Bracha Levatala, because who is he making it for nowadays? So, Lezecher, it's a very strange thing. The one night a year that he doesn't make it is his Seder night. He can't make it Seder night. I think on Yontif they don't do it either. But if Seder night was Friday night, nobody makes it. Because there, it's Dal Koisos, it would be such a problem. So there, okay, so the Mishnah Berurah gives us the easiest answer possible. The Mishnah Berurah's answer is the easiest. What does he say? He says nobody has Kavana when we say Vayichulu twice in davening. Nobody's Yotzei Kiddush, because everybody knows they want to come home. Yeah, they're going to come home and what? And they're going to be Yotzei, the greatest Kiddush ever, Alakos. So everybody has what we call negative Kavana. Some would like to jump on the idea of the Mishnah Berurah, mainly the Briskers. I heard this from my Rebbe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and that is, you can never have negative Kavana. What does it mean you can't have negative Kavana? You're in control of your mind, you're allowed to? I was just somebody was just saying Rav Yama was talking about one of the hardest mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah. It's in the Tzeres Sederach, Lo Tachmoy. You shouldn't be jealous of the other people, of what other people have. How difficult is that? It's difficult because I can't afford a fancy Nike shirt or Adidas shirt. Instead, I have to wear Safety Israel. I don't know, whatever, right? So I'm jealous. How can there be an Issa Daraisa of a feeling that I, what do you want me to do? So Rav Yamar said a beautiful answer. I forgot who it was based on. He quoted so many different sources, but I think it was Rav Chaim's answer. I think it was based on Rav Chaim in the Emek Bracha, he quotes this. And that is that yes, because if you're not controlling your emotions, it means you're not a good Jew. It means you're not on God's team. You're on the wrong team. If I'm only thinking about the I myself, then there's a problem over here.
Fine.
What? That mitzvah sricha skavana, mitzvah enes sricha skavana. Yeah. So the one possibility is the Mishnah Berurah. The question is, can you have negative kavana? So what happens? You don't have no idea what I'm talking about, but in America this happens all the time, because in America they daven shacharis on Shabbos what time? At 9 o'clock, like you anti-Semites that have the 9 o'clock minion. So nowadays you're totally fine with, why are you okay with the, why? Because Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, does anybody know what time Sof Zman Kriyat Shema is? Don't worry about it. You'll make it. It's like 9:26. In the 9 o'clock minion, you're done with chakras by 9:26 probably, right? Yeah, everything's done, fine. So you even said Tehillim, like the whole thing, fine, right? So what's the problem with chakras? By chakras, so let's say the 8:45 minion, it'll happen in a few months from now, so maybe there'll be some nice person who'll be there, right? Maybe Biedenfeld will say, I'll say, shh, so is my Kriya Shema is in 3 minutes, 8:47, right? It's going to happen soon, right? It happened just a few weeks ago before it changed the clock. So hopefully 8:40, I don't know, does anybody come to 8:47 to the 8:45 minute? Okay, fine. So you have to say Kriya Shema before. So now, let's say you have this unique thing. Here's a cool thing that happens, okay? Nebuch. You're at the 8:45 minyan. Listen to this chap. When do they start nishmas? Anybody know? What's the rule? 9:02. Yeah. Okay. 9:02. Let's say 9:02. 9:02. Sosman kriyashma is 9:07. 9:07. So now, when they start the 8:45 minyan, what happens? You know, I don't know who runs the. I'm making fun of Bienenfeld. He's not here. Okay, Bienenfeld. So I say to Bienenfeld. Bienenfeld gets up. He goes, listen, I don't know who's going to daven Shacharis. I don't know what the story is. We probably will make Kriya Shema, but I'm not sure, right? Maybe they'll have some chazan get up. You know, whatever. Maybe as a few weeks ago, I made a huge mistake and I forgot to wake up my son Yaakov. And Yaakov had a daven here. He was so mad at me. He had a daven at the 8:45 minute. Fine, and he'll daven for the Amun, and all of a sudden he'll say something, do something that you probably never heard of before. It's called singing. I know it's not allowed on the 8:45 minute. And he gets up to go, and you know, and he goes shelchein hod. You know, they start right. They start throwing stuff at him. Fine, and then all of a sudden Keladon comes and goes Keladon. No. So now they're not going to make Kriya Shema. So what is the chap is? What does he say? Here's what you should do. Everybody say Kriya Shema now. I'll deny that if I can say it im birchoseh, which for example Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says is ma'akev, but let's say it's not ma'akev. We don't hold that way. That's the bet. Everybody holds that's the better way to say it. So now I'm going to do it al deny. That's a little bit of a problem. Why? Because according to that idea of the briskers, you can't do that. You can't make it tonight. Did you say Kriya Shema or not? Yes, Shkoyach. I rest my case, Your Honor. You said it already. You can't tell me maybe. No, you can't do that. So therefore, going back to our case of Kiddush, maybe that Mishnah Berurah is not going to help us. So now we need another answer. Rav Akiva Eger gives a whopping answer. You know what he says? Wait a minute. What do you mean your wife wasn't? Your wife didn't say Vayechulu? Why does she have to say Vayechulu? What do you have to say in order to be Makabel Shabbos Midaraisa? What?
Mekadesh Shabbat.
Why? Why Mekadesh Shabbat? How about this? Says Rav Akiva Eger. You know what you should say? Shabbosa Tavasa. What happens after the woman does the hokey pokey, whatever it's called?
And have to be yotzer by a couple of because the whole
no, not Midaraisa. So maybe, says the Rav Akiva Eger, all she has to do is this. She gets the Shabbos, and what does she do? She lights the candles, and then she opens her thing, and she says, oh my God, the candles are there. Okay, this is the over last yasin shir we've given before. And what does she say? Good Shabbos, or Shabbos Davasa, or a guten Shabbos, you know, right? Or Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Okay, fine. Whatever she says, Rabbi Kiva says, why is that not Makabel Shabbos Midaraisa? What's the difference if you said that or you said Vayechulu? Good, Shkoyach, maybe that's good enough. Someone would be Machmir. I used to do this years ago, but I stopped telling my wife to do this. I put up a little sign next to the candles. Anyway, my wife, Baruch Hashem, davens for many, many minutes. She hirotzoins and the choylim, the chatufim. It takes a long time. So see, if you're saying all the trivial, anyway, say this paragraph, Vayichulo Shemayim. Then everybody would agree that she's Yotzei Midaraisa, and then I have no problem. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, and he says, I don't understand what this whole discussion is about. There's a Mefurash Gemara in Psachim that says what? That says that you have to. Ready for this? You have to, so simple, you have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim by Kiddush. And now comes to our halacha l'maisa. There seems to be a direct correlation, there's a direct connection between Shabbos and Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. In fact, what do we say in Kiddush on a Friday night? Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. When do we say it in davening? Oh, so you're going to taina. This is what I used to say when I was your age. When I heard this year for the first time, I said exactly what you're saying. What do you mean we don't mention Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim? Yes, we do. Like you said, in Shema.
Maybe it's not about Kiddush.
It's not close enough. It's too far away. Too far away. Even you could tie it. Even Hashkiveinu, Gal Yisrael.
Why would we say it in Lechul?
But we don't. We don't. So therefore, it seems like, according to Michas Chinuch, it's very easy. We come home, and everybody has that direct connection, which is right, has the connection between Mitzias Mitzrayim, and therefore everybody's Yotzei. That's the Kiddush, that's because you need both. So that actually opens up a very interesting question. There seems to be that Shabbos and Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, you have to mention it. Even though it's the creation of the world. What's Shabbos? Shabbos creation of the world. Yes, there's something about Yitzias Mitzrayim as well. It's the continuation of Hashem's creation of the world. Hashem continues to create. Back to what we started with. And that's why what? That's why it shouldn't be such a chiddush for us. Who's it a chiddush for? Iran. It's a chiddush for Hamas. It's a chiddush for Hezbollah. It's a chiddush for the Houthis, right? It may be a chiddush for the Americans also. That what? Hashem's protecting us. This shouldn't be a chiddush for us.
Yeah.
Ah, No chiddush here.
But Hashem needs to show us that Avraham Avinu found Hashem.
And a chanami, that's what the Seder is all about. Why does the Seder start with, let me ask you a question, why does the Seder start with Avraham Avinu? Why does it tell us the story?
He found Hashem without Hashem being from Nisim.
I would tell you that you're wrong. I would tell you we're in a generation where we don't have that Nisan. We had it one time. So yes, I'm not saying we don't.
We
don't remember. And Chanami, that's the lesson. The lesson of Avraham Avinu is: look how difficult Avraham Avinu's life was. His father-in-law, his father, owned. What was his father's name? Avraham's father, Terach. Terach owned the largest Costco of idols ever. Idols are us. I don't know what it's called. Whatever. Psalm. You know, Psalm alas. Whatever. He had the hardest life ever. He found the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not only did he find the Ribbono Shel Olam, he gave it over to the other people. Ah! He gave it over. He said, no, it's enough.
But Hashem didn't show him anything.
Not enough. First of all, he did. He didn't need some of the flies from afterwards. What happened to him
afterwards?
In the cost him? Okay, but I don't understand your question. That's where we are today. That's who we are today. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't show us outward nisim. We're in Hester Padim. The same way. Yes, there was a middle time where Hashem showed us great nisim. The question is, do we see those nisim? So comes along Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and he says, I have a question. Pasha the question as follows. What's the difference between Mitzrayim every single night? We have a chiyuv midoraisa every night. Every single night we have to remember it's yes Mitzrayim. It's a chiyuv. So what's the difference between the two? So comes along Rav Chaim and he says, I have a few different reasons for you. I have a few different things. So he says that, yes. Rav Chaim says, number one, derech she'ela u'tshuva. Right? You need a she'ela u'tshuva. It has to be this back and forth, right? I'm sorry to say this is not nice because everybody here probably prepared their different Torah and everybody did whatever. And they're going to come home, especially the younger kids. Not pointing to anybody here. And they're going to come home and they're going to say, Abba, I have a great gematria. Whoa. Well, let's hear your gematria. Oh, ki yishal bincha bayomahu is 1,083. Minus this. Right? My favorite one I like to say. Tzadik minus shinov. Right? Is it Russia minus shinov? Is it right? Is tzadik. That's why we hug a shinov. It's great gematrias. But that's not, says Rav Chaim, the point of the Seder. The point of the Seder, it starts with she'la tshuva. Questions and answers.
How is Shayla Tshuva better? Why does it have to be Shayla Tshuva? How is that better than just saying?
Because that's the derech of the Yigat Levincha. It's actually about the father, and it's almost the opposite. Every single guy comes with a gazillion Dvar Torahs. Dvar Torahs are amazing. But the father has to tell of the story in such a way. That's what the Yigat Levincha is, derech Shayla Tshuva. It's not, and by the way, it's not only Manish Tana. I just said over this morning, Rabbi Savlusky, one of my rabbeim, told a funny story. He said his grandchild is like 5 years old, and he comes to the Seder. They're just about to start the Seder. And the kid says, what's going on over here? This Seder is different than this night is different than all the nights, whatever. And what do they say? They go, shh, quiet. We didn't get to Manish Tana yet. Say that later. So Rabbi Savlusky said, he's actually asking the Daraisa thing, Shayla Tshuva. Like, answer him now. Finally, we have a kid who actually asks the right questions. So that's a very important part of this idea, of she'ela v'tshuva. Mishayim gunos v'shevach, says Rav Chaim as well. The tamei mitzvah, Pesach matzah marar. We have to explain that, how important it is, v'emur is chayayim. And by the way, I think one of the important things of the Seder itself is that there is a duality. Duality means there's two things going on over here. It's very funny if you think about the Seder. Because there's two things happening that always are what the Jewish people is all about. And I think this is probably one of the most important things to remember at the Seder. Sephardim, answer this question. Does your father wear, you probably don't know what we're talking about, you know what a kittel is? A white?
It's a white thing.
Do they wear, do Sephardim wear at the Seder?
He bought, but he didn't wear it.
Oh, okay. I don't want to get into family politics now. Okay, yeah. So most of us, Ashkenazim, we invite the father wears a kittel. Does anybody know why? Why does the father wear a kittel at the why? Yom Kippur, yeah, why? So why do we wear it on Yom Kippur?
Like
Yesh Rama, Meforish Rama, what does the Rama say? It's mamash the opposite of what you're thinking. What? Thank you very much. Tachrich Meisim is white, and to remind me, Yom Misa, worst thing ever. Yom Kippur, you look, oh God, oh no. This could be me. Next year, this could be it. This is time for me to do tshuva. So why can it be both reasons? You hear the difference between the reasons? Because that's the Pesach Seder. The whole Pesach Seder is Knut, right? Right? We tell the good and the bad. On one hand, we have Matzah is lechem oni. Maror. Oh, but you have to do. You have to do. You have to have the matzah beheseba. Why? We're malachim. So, which one is it? Is it good? I'm really confused now. Is it good or is it bad? Shemarus chayehem. We don't do a seba for because mamash. We remember that, right? And then back in the olden days, it depends what the maror is. Probably the chassam sofer. We spoke about the chassam sofer that was very upset about the maror of our day, which probably is.
It's not maror. It's lettuce.
Right.
I literally gobble it all.
Right. So the question is what lettuce is. Maybe the lettuce in the olden days used to be very bitter. Right, exactly. Thank you. Very good. And sorry, I shush you now for everything else. Fine. So very, very bitter. But we don't have that. So people use chrein, which is horseradish, which maybe not as good, especially the horseradish. So some people dafka user of usher, to remember the olden times, just to get a little kick so that you're like a little bit sad. Okay, but that's not really what's going on over here. But what is going on is, yes, marus chayim. There is a... Both things are going on over here. There are two amazing things that are going on at the Seder. And that's what it is as a Jew. There are ups and there are downs. Sometimes we're the happiest people in the world. It's very difficult to come to shul on Sunday morning and not give hodah to the Rabbanu Shalom that the Jewish people literally were saved, right? Even, and especially us, we didn't even have to go into a mamad, even though I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning, because... I'm not smart. And, right? And had it, you know, then I said, I have to go to the 9 o'clock minyan. Because I said that, I woke up at 7 o'clock. Then I said, no, I said, I'm going to the 9 o'clock. Right. And I joined you with a wonderful minyan here. Anyway, but that's exactly, right? But how can you give hodah to Hashem on the same day where we know there's still 134 chatufim? How can, that's what it is as a Jew. Yeah, that's what we do. It's a pretty amazing thing. And I think that's the Seder. That's what the Seder is all about. And I think that's a very, very important lesson of the Seder itself. Very, very important lesson. Now, the so much so, by the way, that Haseba is a very big question today, right? Because we don't do Haseba anymore. So there, we do it, as Rav Arshu Weiss likes to say, it's Simli. What is it? Just a show. We give a whole shiur on this week.
Why do you trust that she does?
No, so we hold that, right? We hold that we do Haseba by all four cups. There's no question about it. Some people are machmir. They do it during the Suda itself. But really, really what? Really, we are machmir to do it, but really it's simli. The only time Rav Asher Weiss says that you would have to do it, he says, I remember one of my daughters, right after she had the little piece of matzah, she got up to take care of the baby. And she was walking while she was eating. That you have to repeat. Because that, everybody agrees, is not derech cheiros. It has to be derech cheiros.
Derech haseba isn't just going with this. It was like lying in a bed.
Yeah.
So I was learning with someone. He said that at Corona year, when he like actually did it, they couldn't be together, it was only him and like his wife. He said that he actually had brought a bed, and he actually did it.
Did it. Yeah, I thought about that when our thing, first year, I get a whole chair, I had a whole special computer chair. Fine. In any case, let's just finish up with a few more interesting ditties, and then if you have any questions, we could take Pesach questions. But I just want to do a few more things that are important. Karpas. So karpas is a very, very interesting mitzvah. Karpas. Why is karpas such an interesting mitzvah? In my humble opinion, karpas is a very interesting mitzvah because of the following thing. Because karpas is, what are we doing at karpas? We take this vegetable. We're not even sure the vegetables. In Europe, they used to only use potatoes because they had no other vegetables. But we use something green, so we probably use, I don't know, celery. I think is very popular. I know somebody uses a melafafon. Somebody uses a banana to dafka shol tzadama. Okay, shkoyich, very, very cute. And we dip it in the salt water. So the question is, why do we get up and wash? And why don't we make a bracha? Why? No, but so why don't we make a bracha on the tilas yadayim? We make a bracha on why? Right. So there's a halach in the Shulchan Aruch that we don't ever follow the rest of the year. That when you dip something in the mashkeh, that would mean that if you had a donut, I don't know, Oreo cookie, and you dip it in milk, you really have to wash before. So why don't we wash before?
That's true.
So we say that maybe we should. So we know that we wash for bread because of Srach Truma, which we don't even follow today. But really, la halacha, it is a good thing for a person to wash, and there we remember that. The Taz has this famous, cute, Rabbi Soleski likes to say, the Taz was very cute because he made jokes. So he doesn't understand. He says, why do we all of a sudden wash for karpas, we don't wash the whole year. And what does he write? Manishtana halayla zemikola leilos. Right? He uses the famous line. He says, why do we wash it? Why are we washing? We never wash. So maybe there's a heightened kedusha level. Maybe we're ready for the Beis HaMikdash. We're waiting. We really want the Beis HaMikdash. We really want a Korban Pesach, and we just don't have it yet. Very, very nice reason, right? But says the Gra, very interestingly, you know what? Not only should we wash, we should make a bracha. The whole year, the Gra has some very interesting ideas of making a bracha, right? And he says that whenever we don't make a bracha, what happens when you don't make a bracha on something? We don't do it. What's the example? This. As I just told you, he says, because there's a machleika, so we don't make a bracha, suffik bracha sahaka, we don't do it. I'll give you another example where we don't make a bracha. The Rambam talks about that before davening, shacharis, mincha, ma'ariv, we surely should wash the tilas yadayim and make a bracha. So now what do we say? No, we only do it by shacharis. We do it by shacharis. That the tilas yadayim is really going on that. Some people wait to do it with the bracha, but okay, whatever, the different minhagim. But we don't do it at mincha. So what happened now? Now mincha, hardly anybody washes. Ma'ariv, hardly anybody washes. Right? When you take a bracha away, right, that becomes a problem. We'll give you one other example Rabbi Soloski brought today. We don't have this minhag, but in Chutz La'aretz, on Shmini Atzeres, it's a Suffolk Yom, so what happens? We say, the Gemara says, you have to sit in the Sukkah, but you don't make a bracha. Why? Because it's a weird day, because maybe it's not, so we don't make the bracha. So what happens? Now there's a lot of people who don't sit in the Sukkah at all. I'm not talking about here at Eretz Yisrael. We all don't sit in the Sukkah. It's about Tosafot, we're not allowed to. But we see that there is a difference. So when it comes to Karpas, so there's something unique about Karpas that maybe Dafka is because of the time that we're in, that we want to have a heightened level of Kedusha. It may even be similar to the Orach HaShulchan's idea. The Orach HaShulchan says that during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, everybody should have Pas Yisrael. Right? I see Oreo cookies there, which, besides the fact when I was have Chametz here, but okay, whatever. So those Oreo cookies come from not America. How do I know they don't come from America? Not everything, only the cookies. Those are the things that I could tie in them, but they're not. Yeah, those are very common. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm not on the bottom. Those stand in a Pas Yisrael, probably, right? They're from, where are they from? They're from England, right? Are they kosher? Please don't tell me they're trying. Okay. Let me see. Take it. Give me. Oh, yeah. So it's kosher par lo chashash chadosh. Ubi isha rabbanot harashit. It's from the Igud HaRabbanim. Anyway, it's Pas Yisrael. Right? So we don't hold Pas Yisrael normally. What does that mean? It means that we do. In Eretz Yisrael, everything's Pas Yisrael. But really, in America, a lot of people don't hold to this. Why? It's called Pas Palter. Because we don't know nobody knows who Mr. Oreos is. I don't know who he is, Mr. Oreo. Or Mr. Nabisco, whoever makes it. I don't know that. I don't know Mr. What is those called? Chocolate chip cookies, Parva. What's the name of the guy?
Mellow?
They don't teach in here. They don't teach in his cheder. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. Merba. Whatever. I don't know how to read. So Merba. So I don't know who it is. So therefore we have a. But during the Sesame Chuva, everybody says, "Oh, you have to pass it up." So why says the Orach HaShulchan? Because not because we're trying to trick the Rebbeinu Shalom. We're in a heightened level of kedusha, and we're in a heightened level of kedusha. That's why we do it. So we have very interesting minhagim that maybe because of the heightened level of kedusha that we do things that we don't normally do, and at the Seder especially. It's very interesting. I remember Meir Goldbach pointed out that when it comes to the Seder, we have a very interesting halacha, unique to the Seder night as opposed to any other night of the year. When we have a machlekes, we do everything. What happens? We don't know which to do haseba for. We do haseba for all four cups. Why? Why should you haseba for all four cups? Why? Because no machlekes, right? No different. Chanami. That's also. It's very easy to do. Okay. When it comes to maybe gnus shevach, we don't know which one is it. We do everything. We do all of them, right? We have a much longer haggadah because of that. We add things to the haggadah, right? That's the idea. The idea is that it's mamash a day of achdus. We follow all different types of minhagim. It's very, very interesting. I just want to conclude, before we get to questions, with a very interesting idea. There's I don't know why, this year Dafka for me became more popular because a lot of people spoke about the Haggadah. Rav Aaron Salvage quoted the Haggadah of Rav Ashkenazi. Apparently it's available in print. And so he has the following idea. The Rambam, very interesting, he says, Chayev Adam laharos et atzmo ki luhu. What does the word laharos mean? Laharos means really, really? You have to see yourself as leaving Mitzrayim. So he says, what does that mean? He says that, here's where the Svaradim are right. Maybe Kitnios also. But another way, he says, you know why they're right? They're right because they practice the Seder mamish shemruoschem. They wear the clothing and they hate each other like they're slaves and all things. Right? The Rambam says, Laharos says asmo, it means, Laharos says asmos, kihubi asmo Mitzrayim. It's like you got out of Mitzrayim. You have to recognize, as I told you before, that this is our tradition, right? The idea is Shemaruas Chayehem is that is where we are today. We look at the times and don't say, it's not just, I'm not telling you a history story. I'm not dressing up because we have a slave mentality. What do I mean? We're not physical slaves today. But you know what we are? We're slaves to other things. We're slaves to our phones. We're slaves to our time. Our time we're not in control. We're not in this. We're not Baruch Hashem. We're sitting and learning here in Mishmar. But we have to understand that what happened then is what happens now. So real Chayrus, says the Michta Melio, real Chayrus is Chayrus HaNefesh. Free Nefesh is saying, I'm here to serve the Rabbanu Shalom. I am an Eved. I'm an Eved to the Rabbanu Shalom. We'll say it in Hallel during all of Pesach. I'm an Eved of the Rabbanu Shalom. But I control myself, and I want to be an Eved of Hashem, and I want to be able to do Mesiras Nefesh. Rav Yamar, sorry, quote again, but Rav Yamar pointed out, not that long ago, a few hours ago, he said this exact idea. He says, we have to realize that during this war, we have different ways of giving Hodah to the Rabbanu Shalom. One way, very easy. You can be a soldier fighting on the front lines. Rachmana Litzlan, some have mamish masru chayei malin akidish Hashem. No question about it. And then there are those that are fighting. And then there are those who aren't exactly fighting, but they're in the Rabbanut now. And they're working and they're kashering everything. They're working hard. And then there are people who, nebuch, are like me, and nobody wants them in the army. Nobody wants me, trust me. Nobody wants me. So what do? I try to give shurim. And then there's people like you, hopefully you're learning Torah, saying Tehillim. Everybody's doing what they can do. Should you push yourself a little bit more during this time? Oh yeah, for sure. But that's the idea. The says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, the story has to be a story about the present. It has to be a story about the now, about the parents saying, this happened to us, but it's going to happen again. Sometimes, you know, we're shocked, October 7th, oh my God, yeah, okay, we're shocked, but this is our story. This happened before. The concept of Chol Dovar Dor Amdim Aleinu L'Chalaseinu, by the way, is not a concept of, you know, we should be sad. It's not a sad story. It's a story of, why don't the Goyim realize you can't annihilate the Jewish people? It never happened before. I'll tell you a final story, a famous story about the Panovich Rav. Panovich Rav, we know, was a great Rav who started the Panovich Yeshiva. Just on that note, who was the Panovich Rav? Rav Kahanerman came to Bnei Brak when Bnei Brak was nothing. It was just mountains and hills and, you know, sometimes it's hard for you to believe this because you're so young. But when we moved into here, before any of you probably were born, there was nothing here. Okay, this En Gedi was all muddy. In order to cross the shul, this wasn't a shul, right? There were holes in the wall, and that we didn't dominate here for a long time, right? It's hard to believe what has been built and what has happened. The Panovich Rav went. They tell the story that he went onto a mountain, in Bnei Brak, and he told a bunch of supporters. He said, "Here's where I'm going to build one of the largest yeshivas," and everybody started laughing at him. They said, "Nitzel Shoah, you know, you survived the Holocaust. Maybe something's wrong with your brain. What are you going to build a big..." Okay, so this is who the Panovitcher was. He was a very good fundraiser. So he found himself fundraising on a trip. He was on a trip, and he landed in Rome. And there's a famous thing called the Arch of Titus. Titus' arch is very famous. We tell the story over, you know, on Tisha B'Av. People like to tell the story of Titus' arch. That arch, which still exists today, is an arch, and has that famous picture of the Jews leaving, unfortunately, and leaving the Beis HaMikdash with all the Kalim. That being forced, we know, of course, in Bavel, Gam Yasham and Gam Bachinu, but the Romans is also. And maybe those Kalim are actually sitting in Rome, in the Vatican, we don't know, or whatever. Somewhere, there's certainly a lot of Sfarim there, that we know for sure. First edition Rambams, what? They want to give it back. Right. Yeah, there's a story now they want to give it back. There's some priest there that's probably from, like Jewish, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, fine, yeah, there's a story like that. In any case, so the Panovich Rav, his plane is delayed, he's supposed to land at whatever time, and he lands at 2 o'clock in the morning. One of his Talmidim are picking him up, and he says, and it's pouring rain outside. He gets to the Rebbe, I'm so sorry, it's raining. He goes, no, I want you to take me to teach us his art. She says, Rebbe, why don't you go to your hotel room, get a good night's sleep? He goes, no, I want to go now. He says, okay, the Rosh Hashiva asks, he goes. So he goes out, and he gets out of the car, it's pouring rain, he doesn't want an umbrella, and he goes up to teach us his art, and he starts screaming. Panovich Rav, and he says, Titus, where are you? Where are you? Where are all your Roman armies? You destroyed the... Oh, where are you now? He goes, my name is Yosef Kahaneman. And I built what's going to be one of the largest yeshivas in the world. from Panovich, from the ashes of the Holocaust. Where are you now? Right? Where are the Nazis now? Where are the Greeks? They're not there anymore. We shouldn't be surprised by this. This should be a night that we're not surprised by. This is just the Haftach of the Rebbeinu Shalom. The last point is that we should just recognize the fact that Rebbeinu Shalom gave us a tremendous gift. He gave us the gift of knowledge, of atachonim of das. We should realize that not only should we realize that the Rebbeinu Shalom is on our side, but one very important thing. We don't spend enough time asking for Mashiach. We don't spend enough time saying Lashon Haba B'Yushalayim. It's kind of funny if you think about how the Seder starts. Obviously, there's not a lot of talk about Yushalayim, you would think, because it didn't happen in Yushalayim. It's Yitzhak Mitzrayim. But what do we start with? What's the beginning? Halachman, Dechel Avatan, Mechol Dichim V'Kevich. Oh, we invite everybody to the Seder. What do we say? Lashon Haba, the Arad Yisrael. That's how we end the Seder. I know you want to say Chargad Yoles. That's not really part of the Seder. It's a cute thing we do at the end. All the, you know, Echad Miyodeh. It ends with the words Lashon Haba. It starts with Lashon Haba. Because we know that that's, first of all, we invite people to the Seder. That's how it's going to bring, rebuild the base of English. But the Seder should be about davening for the ultimate goal of Mashiach. Yeah, sometimes it seems like, how can you not? I personally could just say I've never seen a time that's closer to Mashiach than the time. Moshe Shabbos, anybody that unfortunately was up, at 1:45 when it started, unfortunately, I woke up my wife because I thought we're going down to the Mamad in 2 seconds. We're about to go there because it was Gush. It was Yushalayim. I said, this is it. And you hear the booms. And I don't know if anybody, you looked outside. It was like fireworks. You know, this year they said none of the cities are going to have fireworks on Yom HaTzimut. This was the fire. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then you're waiting now, Nebuch, to hear the report about what happened. Destroyed cities. And nothing. Mashiach's not on his way. How can you say that? Chol Dov Adorim to the Mochena say. We should be zoicha to, I know it's maybe too late halachically to eat from the zvachim and the psachim to have a korban pesach. We should be zoicha. Hashem should make a special scenario where we could have a korban pesach. We should be zoicha to have the korban pesach be as goel tzadik meiri amenu.